Hello and welcome to the Run Your Life podcast, where we will be talking all things running, business, life, and where they intersect. My name is Kristen Schultz. I am a runner, a physical therapist, a strength coach, and a business mentor. I'll be bringing in other experts to share on running, strength training, business, and everything in between. And if you know me, I like a good story, so we'll be pulling not just on other people's knowledge, but on their stories as well. All I want for you guys is to be you in a world that is trying to tell you otherwise. This podcast is all about running your life and no one else's. And I'm so glad you're here. I can't wait to help you. And let's get to running your life. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Run Your Life podcast. I am here with Santi today. Santi Villamil. He is a physical therapist in Gainesville, Florida. And I'm super excited to bring his perspective on a lot of things today because he does a number of things that really look different than I think you'll see a lot of physical therapists doing. We'll get into that in a second of like his specialties and what he does with his clients. So I'm excited for you runners to get to listen to his story and how he helps runners, both if you're a clinician or a runner. He is, like I said, a physical therapist. He has his own company, The Wellness Hub. And he is also the host of the Clinical Intuition Unleashed podcast. He is a runner himself. He's a mentor to other physical therapists. And yeah, I'm just excited to have you on, Santi.
I am so happy to be here and to see you again.
I know we haven't chatted a bit.
Exactly.
Santi's helped me with a couple of like injuries and just thinking differently about things in the past. And yeah, we haven't connected a bit. He saw me, I went for a visit with my heel at one point as well and everything else. So Santi, could you share a little bit about what it is you do? I know I just gave an introduction, but if you want to give an introduction in your own words of what you do.
My passion as a physical therapist, let's just say if we're going to put labels on ourselves, is really I'm at a point in my career where I want to like inspire the new generation to really become thinkers. You know, and really think about what it is that they're looking at when they're looking at a runner, when they're assessing a patient, whatever field you're in. But since we're here talking about runners, we're going to talk about runners. So that's number one passion, is getting people to think again, because I feel like we've gotten away from objectively like looking at things and then thinking about them. We tend to be taught in school to just objectively measure something, and then that's it. It's like, I measured it. And then what does the evidence say? And what plan should I do? What protocols should I run? And then you go from there. And then sometimes we forget that there's a human being there, that each individual has an individual and it's their own running history, right? Their own running injuries, their own stressors, their own. So everybody's has their own journey, and everybody should be treated like an independent nervous system. Let's just call it, right? Mm-hmm. Then the other part that I focus on is I'm at a place where I treat clients, but when I tell all my clients, I love you. I know your name. I know your family. I know your dog's name, dogs, your kid's name. Yes. Build a relationship, all that good stuff. But when I'm looking at you, I'm not treating you. I'm literally trying to treat your nervous system and work with that nervous system to be able to like then restore efficient movement or get rid of protective patterns that a lot of runners tend to have, because we're runners. We say, hey, I have a pain, then it goes away. We don't realize that the body has compensated to protect us. And then 6 weeks later, or whenever we ramped up our training program, that's when we start getting a pain in the hip and we started with a foot problem or something like that. So I dive deep into really educating my clients into their whole spectrum of what their body has gone through. And then it's the same thing that I try to teach the clinicians and the people that I mentor.
Yep. Nope. I love it. And I know we'll go into this in just a second, but just cause I'm curious. So he's going to talk about a little bit of like one of the treatments he does, which is ANF. And I know that like, you know, is directed at the nervous system, or can be just different systems, right? Lymph and stuff like that too. Is that when you're working with your clients on like on the nervous system, is that going to be like your main treatment, or is it like other things as well when you're treating that component?
One of the things that we should all think about is that everything that we learn, whether you just went to a course and you're like, oh, that was cool, or like ANF therapy, that to me has completely shifted the way that I think of the human body. think about biochemistry, think about emotions, think about how everything works in a holistic way. It is still just a tool, you know. So it's honing down like your thought process, what you're looking at in the client, getting to know your client, asking all the right questions, and there is no wrong answer. Just as long as you're diving deeper into like why you're seeing what you're seeing, or what I'm telling you that they're having pain in some foot or hip or whatever it is. It's all about using that tool. So because I treat nervous system and I'm all about foundations. So in the physical therapy world, in the way that I was trained, you know, what we have to remember is that when we go to school and we pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to school, and yes, it's awesome. Yes, we get our doctorate and we're like, I'm a doctor, and you know, our egos are like, yes, I'm gonna go help people. And then you graduate and you're like, I don't know how to help people.
Like, am I actually making a difference?
Am I making a difference? Or all of a sudden you realize the real world expects you to see a bunch of clients, you know, like a high volume clinic or something like that. Or we haven't had enough experience to know what to look for. Or we haven't had that mentor that says, hey, look, see that little thing right there? Oh, I see that. Then that could exponentially kind of like change the way you look at things. So all of that is important in the process of like not only being a clinician that helps runners, but also the way that we educate our runners. Most of us, I would think, if we're treating runners, we also are runners or have ran at some point because we love it. And it's good to be able to relate to that client, you know, within the sport that we're helping them get back to. Right. Does that make sense? So really, it's what is the foundations? And neurologically, the foundation is usually, am I safe or am I not? Or is this fun, right? Am I safe? Good, let's have fun. Let's continue to move in this space. And if I'm not, then I'm like going to make sure that I protect this ecosystem that we call a human body within that activity or that space that we're moving into, right? And when I mean space, I mean like the street, the room, the floor, whatever, right?
Whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah, just the neurological, we just have senses and our body saying, okay, I need to move in this space. So the as long as we understand that, then it becomes so much easier to treat people because we're treating the nervous system. Because we're tapping into the foundation of like movement, we're tapping into foundation of like how to calm down a nervous system so it feels safe, so then it can then recover better, and then the rehabilitation process can be more effective. Because what I found earlier in my career is that, and before that, I was a conditioning, strength and conditioning specialist. So like it was all these high level lifts and things that I was teaching, which is good technique. But then now that I understand how our nervous systems actually function, I was like, man, all I've been doing for long periods of my career was teaching people how to compensate, right? Instead of like getting rid of the compensations and like clearing out the neurological protection patterns, I was like, no, you got to do it like this. Engage the glute. Oh, you got to do the TA. Like all these things that the evidence says we should do. I was like, man, this is all, it gets us a result. But I'm like, all I'm doing is teaching a new compensation to a nervous system that's way ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
Makes sense. So give us, I guess, a couple examples of, so at least from how I'm understanding it and like from knowing you and everything too, like there's a lot of things that are going to be in the ecosystem, right? That could be affecting the nervous system. And for you, you're taking a very holistic approach, right? Like a lot of physical therapists were only looking at like the body. Like, I don't think, you know, it's becoming more common that people look at the nervous system too, but it's more going to be looking at the musculotendinous structures, you know, for the most part is what we're looking at. But you're going to be looking at like the nervous system in the sense of like, you know, there's going to be emotions and what's like going on, maybe emotionally, what is going on. You're going to look at the physical side as well. How are they moving? You can look at, and tell me if I'm off here, how I'm describing it, because I'm learning. Somebody can help. You could be looking at like their breathing would be something that affects the nervous system. We know, right? For you have the tool of the ANF. That's more treatment, maybe not then. What else would like fall in there that you would be like looking at?
Well, like you said, the breathing is important because let's say before I had, let's say, ANF therapy as a tool, then I would use quote unquote breathing, right? But I actually don't even teach people how to breathe.
Okay.
Because we're a society that tends to be hyperventilating through life, right? Everybody seems to be stressed and I must achieve and I must get this PR and I must be the perfect PT and I must be the perfect mother and I'm a perfect student, all these different things, right?
Yeah.
And we're just like constantly putting stress on ourselves. So we're literally hyperventilating through life. And then we go to a yoga class or yoga for runners, or we go to YouTube and or Instagram and somebody's saying, hey, you got to breathe. Take a deep breath. Okay, good. Take another deep breath. And all we're doing is you get a result, but you're not really, let's say, resetting that nervous system. All you're doing is hyperventilating and trying to fill in lungs that are already hyperventilated. So what I teach people to do is, hey, first, let's learn how to breathe out, how to let it all out. Let it out. Exactly. Just let's let it out, which is going to help your nervous system calm down. How to let it go. Like sometimes it's letting go, like you're saying, the emotional part. When we get injured as runners, it's frustrating. Like, man, I was just doing so good. Now this hurts, you know, or like my race is in a week, or like, you know, there's a lot of stressors that go into it.
Yeah.
Many of us run because it's a stress reliever, right? So it's like, oh man, I can't run. So now like that stress builds up and then we continue to like not breathe correctly, you know,
and
the nervous system knows how to breathe, because when you don't really have to, a baby doesn't think about it. Your pet, if you just go home, if you have a pet and then just watch them, you'll see that they're just doing very shallow breathing. You know, they're not stopping to do yoga to, you know, calm down their nervous system, you know?
They don't have pet yoga yet.
What? Yeah, exactly. So like, well, there's goat yoga. You know, I have some clients to go to goat yoga. I haven't tried that yet, but the breathing is very important, because that's the easiest tool that anybody can use to calm down the nervous system. But at the same time, I was introduced, let's say, to quote unquote breathing before I was treating nervous systems to treat postural, like postural restoration. So there's an academy out there, a school of thought called Postural Restoration Institute. And they were like my first down the, let's say, a different rabbit hole than what school expected. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Back in those days, I was treating a lot of runners. I was going to go into professional baseball and all these different things. And then I was like, wow, I just got introduced to these different way of thinking. And I was like, wow. And it all started with breathing and patterns that you can reset or restore based on rib cage position and pelvis position and diaphragm and pelvic floor and all these things.
Yeah.
So it took all those false beliefs that I was like, that they teach you in school or that we teach ourselves, or we just believe, even
absorb,
though
absorb, yeah.
That you must be a pelvic floor specialist, or you must be a breathe respiratory. It's like, then I was like, dang, no, it all works together. So that was like the first like aha moment.
Yeah.
That took me down into like treating the human as a system. And really it could be very complicated, or you could just simplify it. Just always remember this with any of your clients.
That's what I'm going to say. Yeah.
When in doubt, breathe it out.
So basically you'll tell your clients, and I know we had a chat like earlier, I think it was January. I guess that's the last time we chatted on the phone, because I called him up and was like, hey, I need some help with some breathing. Like, how do you teach your clients to breathe? And that's what you had told me. Yeah. Breathe out. So like how do you do that? But that still sounds complicated.
Exactly.
In my
sounds
head,
complicated,
you know?
Right? So in order to do that, I give people like a number. I say, okay, I want you to try to breathe out or exhale for about 6 seconds if you can, because some people are so hyperventilated that as you're breathing out, they just want to be like, I know where people can't necessarily see me, but what they start doing is they breathe out and they breathe in again. It's almost like they feel like they're drowning, you know, because the nervous system is used to like the hyperventilated state, like that, like fight or flight response. So as you're breathing out and you're letting it all out, the nervous system's like, whoa, what are you doing? And then the person feels like, oh, I need my breath. I need to breathe in again.
Yeah, I need to breathe in. That makes sense.
So what I do is I focus them on a number. I'm like, I need you to breathe it out for about 4 to 6 seconds.
Yep.
And then I want you to just, you're not going to die. You're not going to drown. You're going to be safe. Just breathe it all out. And I want you to pause for about 2 seconds and then just let it in. Because most people want to like suction the air in, and I'm
go
like,
in.
You don't have to do that. You just breathe it all out. And then pause for 2 seconds and then just let it in. And eventually they start understanding it. A visual that I give them is I have like an empty plastic water bottle. And I'm like, you see this water bottle? I'm going to squeeze it. And then I'm going to let go of it. And then it fills back up, right, with air.
It's going to come back. Don't worry. Like, is that like a way that like saying, hey,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm like, your lungs are they're like overinflated because you've been hyperventilating through life. So what we need to do is squeeze all the air out. That's what we let it all out.
Yep.
And then when you pause, then when you just relax those muscles and you just let it in, then the lungs will just fill in whatever they need, without having to go into hyperinflation mode.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, okay. And then they start after it takes maybe 4 to 6 breaths and they're like, oh, okay, I get it. They feel better.
Some people,
they get better, or they might feel weird. They might start feeling a little dizzy, or that they start coughing a little bit, because the coughing comes from the aspect of, you know, if you've been only using like upper lobes, you know, you let it all out and then all of a sudden the lower lobe starts to fill in, then people are like, okay, it's like you're getting all the dusty.
They're like actually working for a second instead of not working.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I can relate to that. I can relate to that. I have gotten that with doing my breathing. As you know, I've had to do a lot of breathing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's all super helpful. And it's like, even me, like having, it's been like the last, year and a half, like breathing has become more important. I still have, I feel like so much, not so much to learn. Maybe that's not the right term, but like I still, I don't know. Anyways, it's just good to hear again. And I'm sure for someone else that if this is their first time and learning, it's going to be helpful.
It's not going to be easy because
it's like the hardest thing.
Because we're treating a nervous system, right? So let's say your nervous system or a lot of people's nervous systems. What we have to remember is that it's learning from the moment we are basically start being created. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So we're in our mothers and those cells are dividing. And once we have a nervous system, the nervous system is learning immune response, all sorts of stuff from its mother, including like it has to be ready for a specific environment, right? Which is like whatever's out there. And if your mom's very stressed, if your mom's hopped up on cortisol, if she's a warrior, whatever it is, right? Then all of a sudden, like your nervous system is learning that. So then
it's learning that from the get-go.
From the get-go. So another thing that I tell my clients is that, listen, especially my stressed out clients, almost everybody's stressed out because I see everybody in pain, or most of my clients are the people that like last resort, like medical system's not working and not helping.
Nothing
them,
so at work.
They come to see me and I'm like, I love it. You know? However, what happens is that most people don't realize that that's all your nervous system knows. So when I'm like, hey, Kristen, just breathe it out and then just relax and just let it in. You're like, I'm trying to, but I feel like I'm dying, right? Like that your nervous system only knows how to like, if you're a luxury vehicle and you're like a Bentley, you know, you're like the best Bentley, but then you took that Bentley and you're like, let's go in a Daytona 500 race and go there around in circles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It doesn't know how to like be a luxury vehicle, even though it is, because it's been in a formula and not a formula. If most people know that, like a Daytona 500 race, right? So most people go around in circles. And then Santi comes along and goes, hey, let's just learn how to breathe. But I don't want you to breathe. I want you to breathe it out. Just breathe it out. And people do it and they feel the difference. Now, once you know the difference, now that's where the practice starts. Like that's literally when the practice starts, because now you have a different perspective of like, oh, I do feel different. Santi, why am I yawning so much? Man, I feel sleepy. Like what's going on? You know? So like those are the moments that I'll tell the client, the runner, like, hey, that's perfect. You know, that right there is what you should be. Just feel that right now. Mm-hmm. Get to know yourself in that state of mind, because when you start getting into your revved up, kind of like high RPM system, then now you have a different perspective. So now you're out and about, you're driving, and then all of a sudden you're like, man, why am I getting a headache? Or why is my foot starting to hurt? I'm not running, right? And then literally all of a sudden you realize that you were like stressed out because you just had a client that was driving you crazy, or you got into a fight with your boyfriend or whatever happened, right? And then all of a sudden you're like, my foot hurts or my neck hurts, and you're hyperventilating. So now you're back up to that high RPM nervous system. Oh, that's right. Let me breathe it out. And then now you can recall what that feels like. And you're like, oh, okay. This is me in a calm state.
Yeah.
But it just takes time, because it's had more time. It, you know, let's just say if you're in your 20s, 20 years of like high RPM is not going to feel
not going to heal overnight.
Yeah. It's not going to feel comfortable in a relaxed state, because that's just normal. Right. Because I learned that like, hey, I'm going into a stressful situation. This is where I feel safe. Let's say in terms of emotions or relationships, this is why some people from an outsider, you're like, why is that person still dating that person? They're such a jerk, right? It's like, why don't they see it? But let's say their dad was a jerk, so they're comfortable with somebody that acts like a jerk, so they stay in that relationship. Because that's where the nervous system felt safe. And
it's use. That's their safety for
that's their safety. Exactly. And it sounds crazy, but that's just how we work. So whenever I'm treating a runner, then that's why I dive into all of those things. You know,
it's all like, that stuff.
Yeah. Getting to know them, like what RPMs do they like to run at, right? what do they do to calm down? You know, a lot of my runners are high achievers, right? So they're like they're like the lawyers or the students or whatever, that they're like super stressed out. They want to accomplish everything and be perfect at everything. Yeah. And they're so stressed out. And then they go and they run.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But to the nervous system's like, yo, bro, like you're going high RPMs all the time. And now you're going to go run. Like you're using up a lot of resources.
Yeah.
Right. And then over time we start, I can't sleep or I don't feel good or I'm grumpy or my foot hurts or my hip hurts. And that's what we talk about. Cause once my runners understand that, then they're like, oh, okay, I see. It's not just that my foot hates me. It's not that my doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. It's not that the other, you know, it's like, I get it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like that's like been my whole journey. I have like a number of questions going in my brain that I'm going to come back on everything we've chatted on. For anyone that's been following me for a while, you know, like I've had this string of like injuries and sickness and all this stuff. So it's just been like the ever and never ending like journey of like getting my nervous system to calm down has been like my last, I don't know what, almost 3 years like of my life, years, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's still not like perfect. Obviously that's not what we're going for, but like, anyways, but it's been like a journey and like still learning by having you on here. And anyways, just can relate to a lot of things he's talking about. So like, just to say, as far as like, don't let it become like, it doesn't have, you don't have to be like injured or in a bad situation to have to heal this. This is something you can do now that could actually benefit and benefit your running, your performance, your relationships, all that kind of stuff. Going back into the breathing part, would you like, if you were just going to teach someone, you know, we went over the simple cue of like breathing it out, would you tell them just to do that like throughout the day, or how frequently would that be? If someone's listening, it's like, okay, let me try this breathing thing. All I gotta do is breathe out.
Exactly. Well, I joke around, I'm a goofy guy, you know me, but the people that don't know, I'm here to serve everybody. I'm here to serve and make people smile, but I'm also a goofball, right? So usually I'm like, well, about 20 to 22,000 times a day, they're like, what? And I'm like, well, you don't want to die, do you? So I just, it's all about awareness and mindfulness, right? So like,
that makes sense.
We're used to a specific way of breathing, but in learning who we are and knowing thyself, why we run, why we get into fights with in relationships or whatever, right? We should always be striving to like better ourselves and find peace, you know? So when I speak of like what makes a good human being is somebody that we're here to experience different emotions, because that's what life is. Like we got to experience everything that comes our way.
Yeah.
But also it's like how quickly, whether you are a Christian or believe in universe or whatever, right? I'm more in like, okay, I believe in God and like God wants me to be at peace. So how do I go into joy and like happiness and then get myself back into peace? How do I go into shame, guilt, sadness, and then back into peace? Like how fast can I get myself there? And that's by being mindful. So the breath is what the breathing is what helps us slow down to then process, right? Because the breathing is what's going to get you out of that fight or flight to be like, okay, is there a bear out there? No, okay, there's no bear. So why am I having heart palpitations, right? Well, why am I biting my nails? It's like you start getting to know yourself in a way, and that makes you mindful and aware. And then at that point, you're like, all right, let me breathe it out to get myself into a calm state. And then I can process what just happened. It could have been something that happened earlier. A lot of us are really good at like just going balls to the wall, right? And then all of a sudden it's like then you're sleeping, you're trying to sleep and you're like wide awake
thinking of a million things, like what do I need to do?
Exactly. So the what I try to empower people to do is not just like how many times do I breathe per day, is like be mindful and aware of yourself throughout the day. Like what are you feeling? The emotions are bad. What are you feeling? Why, like, what was the experience? Did somebody just cut you off in traffic? Be pissed off. I can't believe that guy almost killed me. All right, cool. Then you calm down your nervous system. It's done. And then you get over it. You don't stay mad. And then later on you get home and you yell at your wife because it added up the fact that exactly. You know what I mean? So like, it's just like, be mindful, get yourself back into peace. And the fastest way is through breathing. Now, for you clinicians out there, it's very important for really get to know your clients. Like, I know when I was in school and in our profession, they say, stay professional, don't get to know them. But I'm like,
one of the worst things I hated the most when I got out of, when I was speaking to a clinician.
Yeah, exactly. That is the biggest crap, you know? So I'm like, if you want to be a, yeah, exactly.
Like, if you want to heal people,
you got to get to know your people.
Yeah.
So when you get to know your people, then you get to educate them and instruct them on when to do it. So let's say if I know somebody, one of my clients is like the accountant type. They're like, they need structure. They have a checklist. They're numbers driven. I'm not going to be like, yeah, girl, just breathe whenever you want. I'm going to be like, here's when every hour I need you to set a timer. And every hour when that timer goes off, I want you to take 1 minute to practice your when in doubt, breathe it out. Four seconds out, 2 second pause, 4 seconds in. Then I want you to try to increase it to 6 seconds out. You know, I'm going to be very specific.
Yeah.
Right. If it's somebody who is whose personality is more like mine, that it's like, hey, where's the party? Like, let's have some fun. Like, it's just random, right? Like, structure stresses me out. But like fun and like being creative, using my brain, like figuring things out, that's what drives me. So I try to talk to those individuals, like, hey, what do you think? Let's make it a game. Like, when is it best for you to kind of practice your breathing? Oh, it'd be really fun if I'm going up the hill. Okay, well, when you're going down the hill, that's when you practice breathing out, because up the hill is going to be hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, so just instruct them that way. So for the clinician, literally got to get to know your people. And I know it's like a big,
I
know it's like a long answer for like a simple question.
No, it's perfect.
How do I do
it?
but it's key. Remember, we're all about like, how do we individualize the care for each runner, right?
Yeah.
And every runner is different, and breathing is the key, right? That you can use as a foundation to reset that nervous system. So that way, at that point, then you can take a look at that nervous system and be like, okay, now that it's safe, let me recheck that hamstring flexibility. Because it will surprise you. Sometimes you're checking, you're like, oh, quote unquote, they're tight. And then you do some breathing and you're like, whoa, what happened? They're not tight anymore, right? Like, they gain range of motion, right?
Yeah.
So it's just understanding that, like, first, listen to the client, get to know them, and then treat that nervous system. Hey, let me get them into a rest and digest mode.
Yeah.
And you can go from there, right? I know you also do like help people with improving their performance. So it doesn't have to be whenever they're sick. It's like,
it don't have to be sick or injured.
Or injured, right? Like, it's a situation where like, let's teach the athletes how to get ready for their race, how to recover after the race.
Yep.
Makes sense. And how to recover during the race. So you can do all these different things. Something as simple as breathing to reset that nervous system, to make breathing more efficient. Then all of a sudden your heart rate goes down. And then now you can keep that pace longer. Makes sense. So it's just, these are all little things that how you can help with something as simple that we must do every day, because if you don't do it, we die, right? So everybody has to do it, you know?
Yeah. And you recover faster. And you know, a lot of distance runners, a lot of you guys out there, it's just like, what can we do more of, more and more? And it's also a lot of like, hey, little fancy gadgets, stuff like that. Like, let's do the cryotherapy. Let's do the dry needling. Let's do all these extras about like breathing, sleep, stuff like that, nutrition. I mean, we're talking about this area specifically right now. Like, it's like the simpler stuff is what we don't want to do as runners a lot of times.
Exactly. But you know, but let's dive into that.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
So a lot of my runners have the GPS and the Garmin's and the runners and the this and the, you know, they have, and they look at their program and they're like, I must run this pace today. And they didn't get a good enough sleep, and they forgot to eat, and they all popped up on coffee.
Yeah,
like, that is an injury waiting to happen. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
When you listen to your body. So what I teach my clients, it's like, look, all the technology is amazing, but use that technology once again to get to know thyself, right? Get to know your nervous system. So
not as a way to prove yourself or prove your worth, like, oh, I did this, not as like a check off of that, but more so.
Like, what are your metrics telling you? You know, so like, if I was running with some people, and if I go running with somebody that I'm trying to improve their performance, and they're like, oh, okay, this is the pace. And then I would teach them. I'd be like, okay, fine. What pace are you going at? Cool. But then I'd be like, okay, let me borrow your watch. And I'd be like this. Let's say some people that had like I usually use like a heart rate monitor that goes around your chest. So like, let's say I would wear it and I would let them watch it, and I'd be running with them. And I would be like, all right, so my heart rate is probably around like 140, 145. Wow, how'd you know? And I'm like, okay. And we're probably going like around like a 7 minute mile pace. Wow, how'd you know? Right. Like, I'm like, because I use the, I don't use any technology.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm in tune with my body. So that way I know what my biochemistry is telling me. So I said, I need you to use this not to just to like, are you accomplishing the program, but use it to get to know your body. So it's valuable. You know, it's not anything that it's like, oh, like, let's use it both ways, right? To improve our performance, to help us get to know our bodies better. So that way, you know, we don't, because nobody likes to be injured, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to rely on that stuff either. It's like, once, for an example, like at least what came to my mind is like, once you know what threshold pace feels like, you don't need a watch to tell you. Like, when you know what threshold pace feels like, you just know when you're in it. And like, it's like a 5 second difference, like that you'll feel completely different.
Exactly.
But that's just like becoming aware of your body and how it feels in that threshold pace.
Absolutely. And you can use the breathing to test that out. You can be like, oh, you know what? I heard this podcast, this amazing podcast. And, you know, I was learning how to breathe. So I'm trying to breathe it out. I'm trying to calm down my nervous system. I'm looking at my heart rate and it's like, man, my heart rate just dropped 10 beats. Like, how the heck, you know? And all you did was like, you're still going the same pace, you're doing anything, but you just shifted the way that you let the body let in air rather than try to force it in. And then all of a sudden your like heart rate goes down, which is what's going to keep you running faster, longer. Right.
So I gotta try it more when I'm running. I was doing it when I was doing speed workouts a couple months ago, getting back into that. And I would like breathing during, I was like, oh, this is helping. But would you say like, I haven't paid attention enough to like see like my heart rate go down during it. But like, would the breathe it out technique still work even if you're like going super fast?
It depends, right? So okay, so let's talk about that part of it. You can actually, let's say if you don't have any technology or anything like that, you can use breathing to help gauge how fast your body's working or your cardiovascular system is working. So let's say if you're going really, really fast, chances are that you like your body's taking over and you're like, right? It's like, am I breathing a lot through my mouth? So that means you're going at a higher intensity.
Yeah.
If you're going at a lower intensity, you should be able to breathe through your nose the whole time. Right. What? So it's like, okay, am I nasal breathing? Oh, okay. I'm going pretty good. What's your pace at that? Then you can start gauging and learning. Okay. At what point do I start having to like, and like breathe out through my mouth? And then at what point, at what intensity can I like not even go in through my nose? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you can, let's say if you're going really, really fast, it's hard to do it at that point, but you can then, let's say down a hill or you're going to just kind of like, just take a slow down your pace a little bit. And I tell people, just let it out while you're running.
Let it out when you're going.
Let it in.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Right. Just focus on letting it out and then just letting it in. And then that'll rearrange your breathing mechanics, let's just say. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So like, let's say you're going down that hill, you would like be like breathing it out like multiple times, kind of like breathe out, breathe out, breathe out. And then certain amount of time. And then for a certain amount of times, you'd just be thinking about breathing it in, basically.
Yeah. Or let it in. So let it in. Because if you force it in, you're going in, you're telling your nervous system, like, fight, right? But if you just like let it out and squeeze the bottle and then just let go, it'll fill back in by itself.
Yeah.
That's the point where your nervous system's like efficient, because you're not having to like use all the accessory muscles to like force it in. Does that make sense? It should just be like, I've let it all out and now lung capacity, remember it's a pressure system. So if I squeeze that out, the pressure changes and then it just flows back in. So then now you get into that level, unless you start going fast again, then you're going to have to like, right, force it in, because you got to breathe at a higher rate. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No, ultimately, people think that it's about oxygen and that we're running out of oxygen, but in reality, it's about CO2 tolerance. So what makes people better athletes or better cardiovascular athletes is their body's ability to tolerate that CO2. Now, how much oxygen gets in?
That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like, So when you are able to not have to hyperventilate, that's making your biochemistry better at tolerating that oxygen. That CO2.
Okay.
And then your body actually starts recycling some of that, and it doesn't get so stressed out.
Okay, that makes sense.
If we're in the pool,
I'm writing that down.
Yeah. If we're in the pool and we dive and we say, let's see who can hold the breath the longest. And we're down there. It's not about like, I need oxygen. It's just that our body builds up too much CO2, and then our blood pH starts rising, and your body says, I cannot have an acidic environment because that's corrosive, that's dangerous. So it can't tolerate the CO2, and then you got to like come up and breathe, right? But really, what it's doing is just you have to neutralize that CO2. Makes sense.
Okay.
It's a backwards way of thinking, but like that's how it actually works. Just nobody ever.
But you could neutralize that without coming up, you're saying, though, for air? Or
no, like you have to like the person that stays down the lowest is the person that system can tolerate more CO2.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the trend of plunging into the water and Wim Hof breathing, or like, that's one aspect of it, right?
Yeah.
You're increasing like adrenaline, all this stuff that can hyperoxygenate, and you're like, I can hold my breath longer. That's one aspect of it.
Okay.
But then the other aspect of it is, if you can tolerate CO2, which means that you do very shallow breathing, you're such an efficient breather. Think of like high altitude. People in high altitude, they can tolerate CO2 very well because there's low oxygen.
Yeah,
so that's what people go train to high altitude better. Yeah. Does that make sense? So like, but you can do that literally by, when in doubt, breathing it out, because you're literally throughout the day, you're training your system on how to tolerate more CO2 because you're not trying to hyperventilate.
Yeah.
Since you're not ventilating as much, like you just need very little shallow breathing. If you want to dive into that, I will look into, it's called Buteyko breathing. And that's
what is that B or B?
B, B S N U. It's a Russian back in the 40s or 50s or something like that. He was training like the Russian Olympic teams and things like that.
Okay. Okay.
And so what it is it teaches you how to be more tolerant to CO2.
Okay.
And it, you know, gets rid of asthma. It treats all sorts of inflammation. Like that's what I do. It's another tool that I use with some of my clients.
Yeah.
And with my runners and stuff like that, I try to get them to like go through this. A lot of people don't like that. They'd rather do the Wim Hof and hyperventilate and be like, oh, I'm seeing stars and tingling, right? Because it feels better, because doing the Buteyko techniques suck. Like you're literally, you're in a way, you're training your system to tolerate like suffocation. But because you do that, then it becomes much better at CO2 tolerance. And then you can, it's almost like high altitude training, but just you can do it in Florida. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're in. I can send you the information. You can put.
That sounds like a whatever. Russian thing. It just sounds like a Russian thing. Like,
exactly.
It sounds like what they would. It sounds. I don't know.
But it works amazing. You know, it works amazing. And people are like, Santi, how do you stay so calm? I'm like, nah, I'm just shallow breathing all day. You know what I mean?
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
By the way, I guess I didn't like introduce anything about your personality or anything. Like Santi's like the calmest person ever. Just kind of like. Just like that healer vibe, just like super chill, like always like, how do you be like that? That's why you should listen to this podcast if you want to know how to be super chill. Have you always been chill though? I don't think so, right? Not, I mean, kind of to a degree, but
yeah, I have, but there was like a false Santi, right? So as I get older, remember, it's all about getting to know yourself, whether you're a runner or a clinician. We only become better healers or PTs or coaches or mentors when we really, really know ourselves so much that then we can that we can tune into our nervous system and be like, man, why am I stressed out?
Right.
And then you get back into peace, let's just say. Or you become a better quote unquote healer because now you know your body so well. And I know it sounds kind of weird and we get into like a kind of weird kind of like rabbit hole, but there are people that if they're in here and you're so in tune to what they're telling you and you know your body, then all of a sudden I'm like, man, I'm getting a headache. All of a sudden my intuition, remember, I'm all about clinical intuition.
I'm like,
hey, tell me about, do you get headaches? They're like, yeah, that's one of the worst things. I get headaches all the time because it's like the energy, right? Like I'm just tuning into whatever their body's telling me. It's weird. It's so consistent, right? Or I'll just get like the sense of like, man, my ankle feels kind of tight. Hey, did you ever injure your ankle? Oh yeah, I fractured it like 3 times skiing, blah, blah, blah. You know, so again, as you get to know that, then you can be chill, right? Because
Are you saying that your head will start to hurt? Or are you saying
if I'm tuning into my client, like I know my body so well that if something feels off and I know it's not mine, I know it's not like, oh, my back, I know it's not my knee that I've had ACL surgeries. Like if I'm sitting listening, all of a sudden I just like, man, my shoulder's kind of bothering me. Like I take that as a clue that I know it's not mine. And I'll be like, hey, so any other injuries or like anything shoulder? Any, oh yeah. Like you know, I got into a really bad car accident and I had, you know, so like,
yeah,
I know
that's
it's
what
weird.
We did the one day, like we, or a couple times we've done that, like,
yes.
And it's super interesting. It's so cool.
Yeah. Sorry. Right. When you took the CU course, remember we went over like how emotions and how we can kind of like tell, you can affect other people by telling them whether they're taking them into an emotion, you know? So
yeah,
I can literally, people can get quote unquote weaker if we're doing a muscle testing technique, whether it's shoulder or any muscle, right?
Right.
You can tell them like, hey, I want you to think of something that brings you joy. And they'll be like,
they get stronger.
And they're strong. And I'll be like, hey, I want you to think of something that makes you sad. And then I'll test them and they're like, wow, that was so much weaker. Like they can't hold their muscle as strong as they did the other way. Right. So
yeah,
that ties back into like emotions and getting to know yourself. Right. So
yeah.
I've become chill over time by continuing to like not only better myself, but like really checking in with and reflecting with everything that I do. Right.
Right.
And learning
right.
from all my clients. Everybody has a story. So it's like coming from a loving place, a serving place where you try your hardest to get rid of all the biases that are programmed into us over time by
right,
parents,
right.
schools, by everything. And then you learn from each client. And then that is an experience that you can exponentially learn as a clinician. If you're thinking of like, how can I tune into this individual and really serve them and help them to get to their running goals,
yep.
rather than like, well, I'm the expert and the school told me this and the evidence says that. So I don't care what you're telling me, this is what we're going to do because I'm the expert.
No, if you come yeah. in an
egotistical way, it's going to take you longer
yeah.
to help people.
Yeah, like I think one thing that's changed for me a lot, and I probably wasn't knowingly like knew I was thinking this way as much. When I'm working with anyone in general, it's like, they're the healer, right? Like you're equal parts healing together, instead of, it's not like yeah. a dictatorship. I'm not telling you what to do. Like, I don't, like, yes, I can guide you, but you have to also heal yourself. Like, we got to meet together and figure this out, right? Versus right. me being the person telling you what to do, right?
Exactly. I always say that, like, hey, you're amazing, you're such a good healer, and I'm like, I'm not the healer. Like, your body is the healing
yeah.
system. I'm just facilitating you. I'm just empowering you to understand what it's telling yeah. you. Don't be afraid of it. I know this pain sucks, but I always say pain is a privilege. What's it trying to tell you?
Right,
and I'll
right.
go into like educating them. Okay. If it's sharp, then it's and numb, then it could be like nerve. And if it's like achy, it could be, oh, really? I didn't know that. And then they start practicing, then leave and they'll text me. Hey, yeah, by the way, they'll have my number and they can text me. And anybody that needs me, Kristen has my number. If you guys need my number, Kristen can give it to you guys. You know, if you have, I work in that level, right? So
yeah,
it's one of those things that like I want to make sure that they feel safe. And then they can
right.
ask me a quick question. You know what I mean? And as they learn, that's the most amazing thing as a clinician, to be like, oh my gosh, like they're getting it. Like they're able to, like, they don't ever need me ever again, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. When people are trying to work with me, and like I said, I get many people that have been like let down by the system, that I'm like, okay, well, I know that all those things are valid. That's fine. We're not going to like be dramatic about it. I'm not going to talk bad about anybody else. That's your experience up to this point. My goal right now is to like find the source of what the actual problem is, empower you to kind of learn it. Because if you ever come back to me with the same issue, that means I didn't do my job, right? And I
right,
should give you back
right.
your money, you know? Like that's a guarantee I go. I'm like, if you do what I say, which is foundations, breathing and things, and understand that, hey, how emotions matter and things like that, doesn't mean
yeah.
go break up with your wife. No, it just means like, that's why if you're going to go run because you can't stand being home because you can't communicate with your wife, at some
yeah.
point, you know, you're going to be that dude that gets knee pain, or you're going to be that dude that like, oh, but he was so healthy and died of a heart attack mid run. You know, like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, we hear that, those stories, right? So
right.
It's important to look at the big picture of why we run, and why we get injured and things like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think injury can teach you that for sure, right? Like even like the deeper reasons are you'll be like, oh, this is why I run. And then you're like, oh, shoot,
yeah.
no.
Exactly.
I think that was the hard part for me when I was really injured and sick. And then you have to come to like the really deep reasons of why you run and face them. And
yeah.
it doesn't feel good. So
we're running away from our, it's like, I run because I love to run. Really? What are you running away from? Nothing. You know, like, exactly. Yeah, a lot of us run for because we love it, but so many people run for stress relief or routine, or again, they're running away from something, right? They're
yeah.
trying to achieve something because they're not achieving somewhere else. I'm like, we got to be balanced, right? Yeah. Running and in peace. Chances are, unless you trip over something and your programming is good, you're not going to get injured. But if you're like not in peace and you're not eating right and you're running for the wrong reasons, at some point you're going to be dealing with injuries. You know, that's,
yeah,
I've been through that, right? Yes, I'm calm and everything, but a lot of the things I learned is from being injured, you know, but
yeah,
because I have a positive attitude, I'm an optimist. Whenever, let's just say catastrophe strikes, I always look at what do I need to relearn from this about myself? Or like, how can I reflect on this? Right. And you never know the answers in the moment, but sometimes a year later, 5 years later, you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, it was like so perfect.
Yeah.
Even though that was the worst time in your life, you're like, but that's the reason why I took this path that led me to like coming back from a master's program and marrying my wife and starting a family rather than like doing pro soccer or doing like professional baseball or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Santi, how could you give up professional baseball? I'm like, well, I wanted to have a title, you know, if we're going to talk titles, I'm like, I'd rather be like greatest dad than like,
yeah,
PT for whatever.
Greatest
team,
PT. Know? Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so you got to have your, I guess, values and priorities straight.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. What, I feel like I had a lot of like one-off questions from it. Okay. Going back to like the emotion side of things. Oh, I know what one of mine was like going to be questions you asked, but going back to like the emotion side of things, what is like, do you know what like the hierarchy of like emotions are, like as far as like the order, do you know that off the top of your head or?
As far, well, let's just say if.
Kind of like shame's down here and then you have.
So there's, because let's say I work with frequencies and energy, because everything is a vibration, right?
Yeah.
When we're talking about in terms of emotion and whether they make us, whether they raise our vibe or lower our vibe.
Yeah.
You have joy, you have happiness, you have like bliss, all these things up above that raise up our energy, right? And then we have the ones that lower energy, which is going to be like shame, guilt, sadness, grief, things like that. They're all important. They're all important. It's just how long do you stay in the lower ones, you know?
Right.
The high ones aren't also necessarily great either. If you're always in joy, then you're always like high RPMs. And then you're like, oh, I love life. Everything's great. And then your kids are, you want to read a book to your kids. This was me in the past. I'm like, life is great. I love everybody. I love what I do. I love it, you know? But inside, I realized there was some like, I was overcompensating. Just like we can compensate for an injury. You can overcompensate for an emotion. So like I grew up in Colombia, South America, wonderful place. Everybody's so nice. But culturally, at least what I experienced, you know, is that I grew up Catholic, going to Catholic school. And let's say my family system, it's very shame and guilt driven. Right. To me, that was like programming. That was my programming. So at some point, my nervous system or me, my little soul or whatever was like, oh, this sucks. I don't like this feeling. So then I overcompensated by being like, look at the bright side all the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, joy, happy. I'm good. Everything's great. Oh, you just broke your hand. Oh, whatever. It's all good. It's, you know, I didn't know how to like be in between.
Balance.
Oh, I am feeling pissed off that I broke my hand. You know, like, because that wasn't programmed into me. It was like shame, guilt. Don't get angry. You got to like, don't be upset.
That's not okay. Yeah.
You know,
be
respectful. Don't talk back. All these different things that culturally we just, you know, at least in my family, we just didn't do. You quiet it down. You're the little kid and you just don't say anything. So as I was getting older, I was processing that. And and for me, it's like, the hierarchy is like more like a level, like the zero should be like peace, or you're just like, you can be in the present moment. You can like be observing life. You can be in tune with your client. You can be listening, like we're talking to each other and not being like, oh, what am I doing? What am I having for dinner? You know, you're just like in the moment. Then when you have joy, it's like, oh, that was fun. But then you got to be able to get yourself back down to peace. Because if you just want fun all the time, then that's I'm addicted to running. I'm addicted to sex. I'm addicted to drugs, right? So the goal is like, how do you find peace?
Yeah. So peace is in between these emotions. You got the high emotion, you got the low emotions, then you got peace in between. That makes sense to me.
Yep. And don't be ashamed. Like recognize where you're at. Like, you know what? What emotion? Oh, I'm feeling shame. Why? Oh, I don't own that. Okay. Let me let it go. Let me get myself back to peace. Or like, wow, my puppy just died. Man, that sucks. I'm really sad. I'm really grieving. Man, I'm angry. I should have like not let him eat that rubber ducky that had the thing that he choked on, whatever, right? Like, then get yourself back into peace, right? Like, it's okay. That's how we're supposed to process things, because an imbalance in that eventually leads to, like, what I treat a lot of women with autoimmune conditions, or leads to a runner that doesn't heal up, or a dancer that's not, like, the foot just won't heal, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, what I've recognized is that the emotions rule everything. So if we're going to talk hierarchy, emotions is like number one. That's what drives our biochemistry.
Yeah.
Regardless of what techniques or tools you have out there, you can't not have any emotions. That makes sense. Like, we're here experiencing
you
things.
You have them. Yeah.
And everything's coming in. And then that experience is tied to an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the feeling comes later, right? Like, oh, how did that feel? You have an emotion. Somebody cuts you off. You get pissed off. You're like, oh, man, I'm pissed off. Then later on, well, how did you feel about it? Well, I was angry. So you processed, oh yeah, that was anger.
Yep.
But you know what? Maybe they were running late and at least I didn't die. Get yourself back into peace. You've processed that. You're not still in anger mode. And then you go home and you start yelling at your kids and your wife because
you
never really
process it. Yeah.
Anger, you know what I mean? So I mean, that is a hierarchy, you know, emotions.
Yeah.
And what I do, then I always look at the lymphatic system. You know, a lot of people
that you go like lymphatic.
Yeah, because that's
like that's second
us.
Important.
That's second.
You feel like, so emotions, yeah. Lymphatic.
What gets a lot of the runners that I treat is that they've been going everywhere for musculoskeletal experts, right? And then I see them and I'm like, emotions, okay. They talk, oh, that makes sense. So then that's one system. But then their lymphatic system, for example, isn't filtering the cleaning process of the injuries or think of like we're an ecosystem of trillions of cells, and every single cell is making themselves dinner and they're all going using the bathroom. And that lymphatic system is like that sewage system that is cleaning every single cell, but it's also repairing all the cells. And at the same time, it's protecting all the cells via white blood cells and immune response. So like, that's why that's so important. Because if you have a toxic system, the muscle cells are like, you know, the body's like, I got to take care of the liver cells and the heart cells. They're more important.
Right.
I'll take care of that. I'll take care of Kristen's foot cells later, you know, you're like, it's been a year and a half. I can't. Right. So that's why I always explain, hey, here's how you take care of emotions, be aware.
Yeah.
And then with ANF, I'm able to do things for the lymphatic system, like clear it and optimize it and things like that. But if not, then I'll show people how they can do just some gentle brushing, or like, and recommend massage therapists that do just some gentle flush and things
lymphatic.
Like that for runners,
like
a higher
lymphatic. Pretty much.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
So I contract some massage therapists that work with me that they'll just, the runners come in on a Monday or Tuesday after races, after long days or whatever. And then they just do a quick flush or some recess that we do. And that's it, you know, and then they move on. So that it's like, it's the full spectrum of understanding of like that hierarchy of like, my emotions matter. Okay. My system matters. I got to drink my water, and I just always hydrate with Gatorade. You know, it's like poison.
Yeah.
So like your toxic system that's trying to heal, and you're drinking at night. I mean, I know runners are going to get mad at me because there's a lot of runners do this, but they're like the runners that go run in their groups and then they go have beer afterwards, right?
And then you'll have a drink right afterwards.
It's like, let's go have the IPA, and then, you know, they're talking about the beer, and it's like, they're just, you know, so it's fine. But again, I know there's a social component of it, but then if you're toxing your system,
but if you're not healing, or if you're having, especially if you're not healing, not having, I mean, can have different pains and whatever, but it's like putting more toxins into your body isn't helping the system at all.
Exactly. So when I speak to runners, I give them the whole spectrum. I don't go into make them feel shame or guilty. I just give them information, and it's like, here's the information. Here's how the hierarchy of your system works. And they're like, oh, okay, I get it. And then they have choices, and then we start making different lifestyle changes and things like that. Because I think before we hopped on the call, I think we had talked about how, you know, when we look at healthy people, quote unquote, or fit people or runners, everybody's like, oh, look at their abs. They're so healthy. And what I know for sure is that most athletes are the most unhealthiest people that I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Especially if you're in it for like performance, I feel like a lot of times, if that's like your main goals in general.
Exactly. Exactly. And most of us are not like the pros that have the team, the athletic trainer, the PT, the nutritionist, blah, blah, blah. They sleep. That's their job. Most of us have a job, have a family, and then we're trying to also use the resources running. And then we're going afterwards and having a couple beers and wings, and then we go home.
We brush our teeth. Yep. And wings.
We go to sleep late. That makes sense. And then we're like, oh, what's going on? Like, why am I not healing, right? Or why am I not getting faster or things like that?
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, it's just choices that we have to make. And,
yeah.
And what choices do we make? And then how fast can you get yourself into peace, right?
Yeah.
Don't be guilty like that you drank beer. It's like, no, hey, that was delicious. I hung out with my friends. I'll pee it out tomorrow morning. I'll detox my liver with some water. And then I'll just go ahead and go back to peace and enjoy my run tomorrow. Make sense?
Yeah. 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 Do you think it's possible to like have high achieving goals, go after high achieving goals and be at peace as a runner?
Absolutely. Those are your top performers. Yeah. I mean, that's when you're like at the top performance, when you can be highest performance, but you know yourself and you know your body so well that you're willing to like find that peace.
Right.
Be okay with sleeping, being okay with like looking at training program, being and your coaching or whoever, and being like, you know what, person, today I'm just not feeling it. Maybe I'll just do a walk today.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go for a bike ride. Maybe I'll just try a first mile. And then if I start feeling good, then maybe I'll speed up the pace. But don't be so like stressed because now you can't accomplish the training,
right?
You know, that you needed to get done that day, right?
Yeah.
Those guys understand if they have a little pain in here, they don't wait. That, you know, they'll call Kristen, they'll call Santi, they'll call. That's where you got to get you like a little team of people that you can like trust right away, that you can call them, and then they can get you in right away to like take care of the situation, rather than being like, I'll ice it, I'll take some Advil. All we're doing there is not listening to a body. What we're doing is we're blocking those neurological signals that are being sent to say, hey, Houston, we have a problem here, and we're saying like, no, I don't want to hear it. Let me take this Advil, right? Or no, I don't want to hear it. I'm just going to ice it. There's a reason for pain, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's something as simple as like, oh, I just didn't sleep good last night, you know?
Right.
And maybe that's why I'm feeling stiffer today. It's not like, you know, that the world is coming to an end because I'm stiff. It's like, no, you got to know your whole history, right?
If
you injured your back in the past and then you didn't go to sleep and you're trying to run.
Yeah.
And then you're stiff. Well, that's right. Like, I can understand. I fractured my back when I was a kid, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's something that'll be there. So let me loosen it up and move on with life. Right. And then get back to my training program. So.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I like it. I like it. Yeah. What was I going to say? Okay. So you got emotions, you got lymphatic. Where do you go from there then? So is there more? There? It's okay if it's not like, I just, yeah.
Yeah. Well, after that,
you realize. We've been chatting for a bit already. I thought we were chatting for like 30 minutes. Santi.
I know, time flies, girl. Maybe we can complete with this. We'll hop on another one if you want. Like, we'll do part two.
We've been talking for 30 minutes. I just looked. We've been talking for like an hour.
We'll do part two if you want. But but if you want to summarize, so we have emotions, understanding that part, right? It doesn't mean like don't have them. It just means like see where you're at and then listen to your body. Lymphatics. Just understand that your body needs good sleep because that's when our lymphatic system wakes up in the night to cleanse us, right? Or gentle flush or gentle stretches, gentle mobility. It doesn't always have to be like go hard or go home, right?
Right,
that's part of the recovery. And then next is nervous system, but nervous system and cardiovascular. That's okay. That's covered by if the lymphatic system is cleaning everything, then all those are working well.
Yeah.
And that just means just being hydrated, right? Because if we're electrical, right, the cells need that oscillation, then the more hydrated you are, the better, right?
You're
going to be able to send the charges. And that's about it. Then the next comes gut or like glands.
Yeah.
And then musculoskeletal is like second to last, right? Then you have like, if I cut myself, like local tissue. So we always focus on musculoskeletal, but many times the musculoskeletal issue can resolve itself by first getting the hierarchy up here covered. And then now we can be like, okay, is it truly like an injury because there's a compensation? Okay, now let's work on that compensation. Let's reset that compensation, whether it's through breathing or some of the other tools that I use. And then managing the programming, you know, unless we're running and we fall or, you know, we twist our ankle. Those are very straightforward acute situations. But a lot of runners that I treat, it has to do with a compensation, you know? So like you, if your foot, I know you hurt your plantar fascia a while back and you were like, man, you tore it and everything, right? So you're trying to get yourself back. And even you're like, oh, I'm doing good. And you might find yourself that all of a sudden you push it a little bit. You're like, oh, I'm feeling good. And then you ramped up the program. And all of a sudden it's like, man, what the heck? I think you told me my other foot's hurting me now, right? And that's okay. We go into frustration mode, or we can be into like, oh, you know what? I know my brain and my runner's body, because I've been an elite runner in the past.
Yeah.
I thought mentally I can tolerate that.
Yeah.
But your body's saying,
ready yet.
I'm not ready. I'm not tolerating that. And it's not your other foot, it's the foot that you hurt a year and a half ago, right? So then you have to like, okay, how do I change my programming or modify it to get to the point where now I can tolerate it. Now I can run without the foot pain on the other side. Makes sense?
Right. Yep. Yep.
So it's always tweaking here and there. It's not a, don't look at the journey as this frustrating, which we do, but it's like, how do we change it into like, okay, how do I navigate this in a way that like we make that nervous system feel safe, so it doesn't have to go into protection compensation patterns, and then it enjoys running, and then it becomes faster and more efficient, blah, 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 right? And then and we're happier, and then the hierarchy is taken care of.
No, I like it. I like it. No, I appreciate it. Yeah, I know, because like with my return to running per se, like I'm just like, one of my biggest things has been like, okay, I want to be like a happy runner per se, maybe not happy, but maybe a peaceful runner is a better word now, because that's higher, but a peaceful runner that can also still go after your dreams while equally, now that I'm like aware of like for me, it's a lot of, you know, feelings of like shame, guilt, like, you know, a lot of runners like, you know, perform for like those deeper reasons. I'm like, well, I don't want, like, can I still do this, but not for these reasons and still enjoy it, but also I still want to do it. Like also go after performance goals, but not have the meaning behind them be the same. That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you want the performance goal to bring you into joy, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're at peace. You get your PR. I was like, man, that was awesome. Then you get back at peace and you're like, wow, okay, that was fun. How can I make it better?
Yeah.
Rather than being like, oh, that was fun, and then going into shame and guilt. Oh, but if I wouldn't have, if I would have trained harder, maybe I would have gotten a better PR, you know, whatever, right? Like,
yeah.
it's like, don't go to peace, analyze, reflect. Don't go to what we got programmed into doing, right? That's I found my peace because I understand what I'm really good at, but I can catch myself going into shame and guilt like so fast that I'm like, oh, no, I know where I'm at. No, I'm not doing that. And then it's not like I'm pushing it down. I'm just like aware. Oh, okay. And then I'm back to normal, right?
Yeah. Nope, I like it. Awesome. Okay, well, yeah, maybe we'll have to bring you on for another episode.
Yeah, I let's really do it.
Like sometimes I go over, but like I didn't even realize. I was just like, oops. Okay. I need to wrap this up right now. Should we wrap this up?
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up. All right. Do you want to share? I usually ask what the anyone I bring on their breaking five moment. Do you have a second to share, or do you need to go right now?
No, what do you want me to share?
Just
what?
Go. Like, so basically at the end of my podcast, so my podcast used to be called Breaking Five, a running podcast. I changed the name, but still the last question is basically asking you what your breaking five moment is, which really means like either it can be an athletic, something you'd like to achieve athletically in your life still, or it can be within being a physical therapist, you know, mentor. What would be like kind of like something you really aspire to do?
Yeah. Okay. So the breaking five moment?
Breaking five. Because you remember like before, like when I was running, I was like, oh, I'm going to try to break five in the mile.
Yeah.
So it's like, what would your breaking five moment be?
My breaking five moment would be seeing a community of physical therapists that truly understand how we can serve others and believe that we can be that primary care provider, right? Where it's not like that we just get out of our head and we serve our clients, our community in a way that like we are seen as like the expert without anybody else in the way, and that we're corroborating with other healthcare professionals, but in a way to in a way that like if a runner has a question or they have a little pain or whatever, that they should feel 100% that they should just think of you first, right?
No, I like it,
because as physical therapists, I feel like we are poised to not only empower people in the way that we move, but in the way that our nervous system works, in the way that we can talk about like how to nourish our bodies. Like I feel like nobody out there can actually do what we do in the way that a physical therapist can do it.
You right. know,
no. We've been trained, right? So I think if we just understand that and own that, like we can literally change healthcare, right? Like let's change healthcare, you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, it's, to get them to understand, like, you don't need to go to your doctor first. Like, we are the first line to come to for, you know, for an injury. Like, don't go to your doctor first.
And it's not even about like, oh, that it's just so that way the individuals that you're serving are able to like be in peace and joy.
Right? Yes, there you go.
Be in that wave of like peace and joy rather than like frustrated because they went to one appointment and then they went to another one and they got the x-ray and the MRI and nobody, and they come over here and I'm like, hey, you're just stressed. The bulging disc has been there for 30 years. Like, you know,
that's not the cause of your injury.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so I think that'll hopefully take the load off of healthcare, but also at the same time, shift the way that we can make people healthier as a community, as a whole, right? Like truly heal people from the movement component, and whether we cooperate with other practitioners. If you don't want to talk about nourishment, I mean nutrition, but we can't say nutrition. I can just say nourishment or lifestyle changes and things like that. I think that is the way forward for at least me and what I'm trying to do. Because everybody has to move, and who's the expert at movement? We are. Right.
Yes. Physical therapists. Yes.
We should be like the brain surgeons of like movement.
Right.
Period.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if everybody thinks that, then they'll always look for a PT first, you know?
No, who to go to. No, I like it. I like it. I knew it was going to be something like that. I knew it.
Yeah.
For your breaking by moment. Well, Santi, thank you so much for coming on. And like we chatted, maybe we'll bring you on again and like we can get to know your running story and dive a little bit more into a few things. But
absolutely. Anytime I'm here to serve you in any way that I can, and your runners as well and your clinicians.
Yeah. And if anyone needs to find Santi, do you prefer, is Instagram a good place or where's the best place to reach you at?
Yep. They can go on Instagram at Santi the Physio Sensei, or just look up Santi Villamil on Facebook. That's about it. And then, when I get the podcast going, then you'll be listening to Kristen talking about things and how her running.
You're going to interview me.
Exactly.
No, I love it. Yeah. And all his info will be in the show notes. So if you need his contact info, check out the show notes. Until next time, I hope you guys all keep running your lives. And thank you so much again for coming on, Santi.
You're amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Bye, guys. We'll catch you later. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of the Run Your Life podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to like, follow, share, or subscribe to today's episode to help to get the word out. Until next episode, go find that breaking five moment, keep running your lives, and we will catch you on the next episode of the Run Your Life podcast.